191. We are not going to hold a work session on Senate Bill 194 or Senate Bill 79. We will hopefully hold work sessions on Senate Bill 80 and 81. They're not quite ready. There's paperwork being drafted and maybe ready by the time we get to them later on in the hour. So let's begin with a public hearing on Senate Bill 718. Judge Manneke is here, and as he works his way up here, Chris, can you give us a brief overview?
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The bill does come from the tax court, and it has to do with proof of filing and mailing of documents. The bill would expand the establishment for establishing proof of filing with the Oregon Tax Court to include methods beyond the United States Postal Service, basically third-party carriers, FedEx and UPS. And it also eliminates a requirement to include a declaration of mailing to prove that a document was sent.
Okay. Judge, welcome.
Chair House, members of the committee, thank you very much for having me here today. My name is Robert Manneke, and I am the judge of the tax court, and as such, the head, the administrative head of the court as well. As the committee is aware, the tax court has jurisdiction over all cases involving the tax laws of Oregon throughout the state. We have two divisions. The magistrate division is where nearly all cases start, and they also resolve about 90% of all of the appeals. Most of the magistrate division's cases involve individuals or small businesses. They're filing appeals from notices that they've received from the Oregon Department of Revenue in the case of income taxes, or they're appealing from a decision by a local board, the County Board of Property Tax Appeals. And they're acting normally on very tight appeal deadlines, which range from 30 days to 60 days to 90 days. The magistrate division typically gets about 400 or 500 appeals every year, mostly by mail, again, from taxpayers all over the state. The magistrate division is designed to be impartial but informal, and most taxpayers are not represented by lawyers. Some are represented by CPAs or by other people, which is specifically allowed in the magistrate division's statutes. And also the Department of Revenue appraisers, or rather auditors and county appraisers typically are not represented in the magistrate division. If there's an appeal from a magistrate division decision, it comes to me as the regular division judge. I'm the only judge. This bill would benefit the magistrate division's litigants primarily. We're asking for this bill in order to update the law, just because so many of our appeals are filed by mail from all over the state, and again, on very tight deadlines. What the bill would do is amend a law that was put in place in 1975. The legislature then recognized that we have statewide jurisdiction and that people file by mail, and so the legislature put in place ORS 305-418, which allows taxpayers and other persons who are filing to treat the date that they mail their complaint or their filing as the date that it is filed with the court. That way, everyone has certainty as to what the filing date was for purposes of that 30, 60, or 90-day deadline. So that is a very helpful statute, but it's a little long in the tooth now. There have been a couple of changes that affect the statute that is why we're requesting an amendment. The first one is the use of couriers, private delivery services, which have been in place since the 80s. And couriers have the advantage of having better office hours for litigants, and sometimes they will pick up from the home. So people who have constrained work situations or can't leave the home can find it easier to use a courier. This bill would put people who do use a courier on equal footing with people who use the mail. The other issue that's come up, our staff has noticed that the U.S. Postal Service has stopped putting postmarks consistently on envelopes. And so while existing law allows, requires you to use the postmark to measure what the date of mailing was, it's harder and harder to do that. So we are asking for this bill as a way to allow alternative kinds of proof to be used. Other courts do this. The Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court, like us, have jurisdiction throughout the state and receive mailed filings from all over the state. They have updated their statutes to accommodate these two changes. We vetted this bill last fall with the Department of Justice, the Department of Revenue, the private tax bar, CPAs, the County Assessors Association, and the County Council Association. And we are looking forward to hopefully getting this change put in place. Thank you very much for the chance to testify about this. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Judge Manicki. I'm struck by the other two bills we have up here today also deal with mail and updating statutes, also long in the tooth. Questions? Yes, Senator Boquist.
Thank you. And first, I need to declare a real conflict of interest because I am in the tax court and I don't intend to talk anything about that, but I want it on the record so I don't get barbecued later. Judge, it's a couple of questions. My light reading, the Oregon Tax Court rules, you know, and as you know, I've read these several times, but in the bill itself and the change here, how do you contemplate, because I believe the existing rules and existing practice for lawyers is they have to use the e-system, the electronic system, right? So do you have in place a rule that sort of makes it different? And two sides, I get the intention of helping out the citizens, because I actually have a packet about this thick, about the reform of the Oregon Tax Court sitting on my desk. But after reading your voters pamphlet and now looking at this scene where we're trying to get forward back to where this court was supposed to be, the people's court, how do you deconflict those two in the laws, or someplace else in the statute, or is it an agreement between the courts and the bar that they do it electronically and the normal citizen can do it by mail? And of course, hopefully, mail will still work in rural Oregon, because your point is exactly right, because the citizen puts something in and they have to do it real fast and it comes sloppy.
Chair House. Senator Boquist, thanks for that question. The we're going to maintain the ability of ordinary citizens to continue to file through the mail. We think that that's important. And in addition to that, we have at the court a handbook that people can use to understand our processes better. Mm-hmm. At the moment, we are putting together, with the help of the Oregon State Bar, videos that will go up on YouTube that will help citizens understand our processes in a clear demonstration. So the intention is to allow e-filing, yes, but also not bar the ordinary person who wants to file by mail or by courier from continuing to file that way.
Follow up. Just to clarify, because everything ends up in court, so I want to make sure we have it on the record right. So because I believe the rule in the tax court and the rule across the state in all the courts is if you're a member of the Oregon State Bar, you have to electronically file, period. I guess, of course, if there's a tsunami or Cascadia, then that rule will go out the window. But that's going to continue, correct? So we're sort of, it's a sign of isolation. This doesn't allow attorneys not to do it, because I believe you do require, I believe it's either a bar rule or a court rule in this book that says attorneys must use the electronic system, period. Am I correct, sir?
Sure, no. Senator Boquist, you are correct.
Okay.
The lack of postmarks, what do you do now when you have one of those situations?
Well, the chair has the best answer to your question is that often filers allow enough time for a document to actually be received by the court so that there is no question as to when it was filed timely. And then what we have begun doing is to take a copy of the envelope as received and include that when we send that to the Department of Revenue or to the county, so that if there is an issue about timeliness, the litigants can duke that out. The idea is to let the adversary system play out. And we also, as part of our outreach to program, want to warn taxpayers about the fact that a postmark may not be applied, so that even if the bill passes in the interim before it becomes effective, people are forewarned.
Further questions? Senator Boquist.
I have a question. It's unrelated, but he's here, and it's related. Could you maybe, Your Honor, briefly, because you talked about workload, and if I remember right, it's you and three others, if I remember right, three magistrate judges, and the caseload, because as the legislature is moving forward with the notion of doing changes to 5 and 50 and real market value, which could increase, seriously increase the number of, go to the old days, and no disrespect, but you are old enough to know the old days when we had this, where suddenly now there's the Board of Property Tax Appeals are getting dozens and dozens and dozens. And as you said, the adversarial system works in some counties and others, it just doesn't work at all. I sort of envision or see that the workload of the tax court is about 100% plus right now. And would it, I guess your observation of what your workload is, and if there were just magically hundreds and hundreds of more cases, that we should be considering how to address that issue simultaneously before opening the floodgate by going to real market value, which I'm not asking you to weigh in that, just the your workload and what can be done in the tax court today.
Senator Boquist, it is true that the workload of the tax court does depend to some extent on changes in the law. Changes in the law can affect it. So can changes in the economy. Those are the two biggest drivers, probably, of our workload. And to give you an illustration of that, right now we're at about, in the magistrate division, that's the best indicator, between 400 and 500 appeals per year. During, at the height of the recession, the workload of the magistrate, the caseload spiked by 50%. So there can, because more people were concerned about mm-hmm. their property taxes primarily, there may have been additional income tax cases back then as well. So changes in the law can affect us, and we do try to watch for that and be mindful and alert the legislature if we think that anything in the law will change our workload.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay, that covers it. Thank you so much for coming over. And we have no one else signed up to testify, so I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 718. I'm going to go to 80 and 81.
Sure. We can talk about them. We don't have the...
We do not have them.
We don't have the fizzes.
We don't have the fiscal statements.
We do not have the fiscal statements.
Are they 10 minutes away, or are they an hour away?
We were told that we wouldn't be getting them.
Okay.
So probably the latter.
Well...
The latter is here, though.
Sure, glad Judge... Not. I'm sure glad that Judge Manicki was able to occupy us for 15 minutes. We don't have the paperwork, so we're going to recess. Since some of us will be here in the evening, I'm just deciding, does anybody want to try back here in an hour? Or would you just soon put this off till next week?
Defer to whatever you prefer.
I'm deferring to committee members.
I'm not seeing that these are earth-shattering, and we could probably do those on Monday.
Yeah.
Rather than, the unfortunate thing is you don't know what LFO is exactly going to do.
Yeah. Okay, we can add this to the workload on Tuesday.
We just carry it over to Tuesday.
Yeah, you will carry over SB 80, SB 81 until Tuesday, and that clears out our deck and our record-setting time. for this session. And with that, we will adjourn.
Thank you.